I would like to ask each of you a question. Who are you? Just pause for a moment and see what comes to mind first. It's a tougher question to answer than we might suppose, but a really important one. Because who we are comes out in how we live, in what we do. Our identity is deeply bound up with our values and our core self. So, what about you? If you were a stick of seaside rock, snapped in the middle, what words would be written in your core? For several years, I belonged to a women's group. There were five of us from all different spheres of life, different ages, different faiths, and we would meet once a month to share our lives, support each other, and sometimes explore this sort of question. I recall that when it actually came down to our trying to define who we were as people, we really struggled. The macro level's pretty easy. I'm English, I'm a woman, I'm a Christian. But that's not really answering the question. Neither is answering it in relation to other people or the things of this world. I'm a mum, I'm a sister, but is that who I am? On this first Sunday of Lent, we've just heard Luke's retelling of the temptations of Jesus. The Gospel tells us the devil has been tempting Jesus continually throughout his time in the wilderness, but we're told specifically about three of them. And what all those three have in common is that in each case the devil is attacking Jesus' sense of self. He's challenging Jesus on who he is. He's honing right in on the nature of this man who already in Luke's gospel has been declared the Messiah of God. That's the test. Jesus, are you who you say you are? Are you who you think you are? He's testing out what words of identity are written deep in Jesus' core. It's no accident that this period of intense temptation comes straight after Jesus' baptism. Jesus has had this powerful affirmation from God that he is his son, the beloved, and the devil is straight in there trying to knock him down. Luke shows us a devil who is cunning, powerful and clever. He uses weak points. Jesus is hungry after 40 days of fasting, so the devil starts there and for good measure introduces the temptation by goading Jesus to prove his identity. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. He's playing on Jesus' human need for food, while needling him to use his divinity in a self-serving way, which would actually undermine his identity as the Messiah. It would betray the core of who he was. But Jesus, hungry as he is, spots it and responds with scripture. It is written, he says, one does not live by bread alone. 1-0 to Jesus. So the devil tries a different angle. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and says he will give him all the authority, all the glory over them, if Jesus will just worship him. Yet again, the temptation is about self-interest, in this case, self-aggrandizement. But Jesus' nature and the core of who he is to be a servant, to give himself as a sacrifice for many, not to seek power for himself. So once again, Jesus replies by standing on scripture, batting the temptation away by telling the devil, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Two down. And the devil is getting nowhere with his tactics. So as a final fling, the devil takes Jesus out of the wilderness and into Jerusalem, to the temple, the very heart of Jewish power, identity and worship. And he places him on the highest pinnacle. Again, he goads him. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. The devil is trying the tactic of quoting scripture back at Jesus, but he's misusing it. He quotes it out of context and with a complete lack of understanding of the nature of God himself. Jesus is not fooled. He knows that God's character is not one to be tested, and certainly not by instigating some sort of miraculous, showy angel rescue, a self-seeking exercise to make all the people go, wow. Jesus replies simply, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Their exchange shows us that it's not enough to quote scripture with our mouths. Jesus here quotes from Deuteronomy, and the devil, who also knows scripture, quotes from Psalms. But the way they read it betrays who they are. The devil comes from a place of self-reliance and arrogance, aiming to use God's word against him. By contrast, Jesus' life and self are rooted in God's narrative of deliverance, and his use of scripture comes from his faithful obedience to God. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, the word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. Both must be united. Our attitude of heart is crucial. And that is why the devil couldn't hope to win. So the devil leaves, defeated, to wait for another opportunity, to wait for the cross. All the temptations hurled at Jesus cut to the heart of who he was. They all tested out the truths that were written in the very centre of him from before time. All of them invited him to serve himself, not God. But the stick of rock that is Jesus is deeply engraved with his identity as a son who relies on the good gifts of the Father. And Jesus knows it. He knows himself and responds from that place. In the families of the ancient world, the adult son was often understood to be the father's representative, and the father and son would work together to accomplish the family's goals. The son's identity, honour and status are rooted in his family's honour and status. Jesus is the representative of his father in heaven. He doesn't need to give in to the devil's offers, which are only pale imitations of the things which are already his. Jesus' responses to the temptations are rooted in a nature dependent on God rather than self for life, glory, and identity. It is who he is. So back to my question, who are we? Lent gives us all a fresh opportunity to spend some time asking the question, who am I? What are the values and the sense of identity that run through me like a stick of rock? We can ask that question in prayer, in conversation with others, in quiet time with Christ. And I wonder, what might God be wanting to say to each of us as we ask this question? Amen.